first. Good evening and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm Leah Garchek, columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, and I am the chair today. We welcome listeners on the radio and invite everyone to visit us online at www.commonwealthclub.org. And it's my pleasure to introduce today's distinguished speaker, Bill Owens, a California native of Sacramento, actually, is one of the state's most provocative photographers, whether we live in the city or the country or in between in the hallowed ground of suburbia. He has created several books. He served in the Peace Corps early on and founded and is president of the American Distilling Institute. He describes himself as a father, brewer, and gardener, and a documentary photographer. While he was a photographer for the Livermore Independent newspaper, Bill produced his classic book, Suburbia, which is on sale outside and which chronicled suburban life. It's still relevant. I spent the weekend looking at that book of the 70s and the newly published retrospective of 50 years' work, Bill Owens. Bill has received worldwide acclaim and many awards, including MacArthur Grant. He will be signing after the presentation tonight. So now Bill is going to describe his life and times and work mainly for you.
Thank you. I'll move around so I can see my images and talk about them. Before I go into the book, I'll give you a little background. In 1968, I didn't start on the book till about 70. It was published in 72. And the word suburbia was a negative word, and I was really afraid to even use that as a title. It did not start out as a book. It started out as a documentary project. But to do this kind of project, I did have some background in that I was in Jamaica in the Peace Corps. Then I believed in community. I believed in community development. I believed in people working together. And when I was at San Francisco State, I took a documentary photography class from John Collier, who did a book called Visual Anthropology, and I spent a year and a half photographing the little town of Brisbane. So I knew to make the critical thing is to do a mission statement, what I'm going to do, and spend a year photographing it. You do the overview, you do the close-ups, you do the 4th of July, you do Christmas, you do family get-togethers, you do the school, the 4-H, the Rotary, the Kiwanis Club, and all the kind of groups. So I just started to work on shooting those things, but also then the serendipity happens of pulling things together that make the book happen. And I tell you, there's nothing more fun than sitting on your chairs in the summertime and gossiping about the neighbors. And, of course, when you look at the garage is full of stuff. And in America, we have so much stuff. They have AAA garage rentals, and people have lots of stuff. I'm looking at some friends of mine where their garage is really full. How am I going to do this? How am I going to flip my buttons? Wait a minute. I want to read some poems also from 1965. And this is very, very suburbia. Can someone, you want to flip my slides while I get ready? In a little bit, I just want someone to push my, to go forward after I finish my poems. That way I'll run back here. You're just going to hit that button there. Okay. And I'll tell you, it'll be about 5 minutes before I do that. There, just go to the next slide. Huh? I'm doing my memoirs now, and as you do your memoirs, when your mother dies, you get a whole bunch of stuff, and I've sorted that stuff out, all the photographs, and of course, I've been sorting out my stuff, and I found poetry from when I was at, these are poems. I wrote poetry in college, but these are poems a few years later in the midst of a very tough time in my life. It's called The Visit. Your mother's coming. Mow the lawn. Clean the house. Dust. And the toilets. The phone call. The second call. Collect. The car overheated. Can you come up? No. Why? Earache. Doctor appointment. The excitement, the letdown. The kids keep on playing with the Lego. And I have a clean house. I bought a seedling in the spring, planted and watered, and you lived in another town. And when a visit when I picked the first tomato, you said it cracked because I didn't water it enough. I said, I didn't water it enough, mad as hell. Then she said, you don't listen to good advice. How can you stand to be around someone who criticizes your tomatoes? How do you spell pain? D-I-V-O-R-C-E. The book said, get well, take a hot bath, get a massage, drink hot milk, buy yourself something, treat yourself to ice cream, take a trip, bask in the sun, read a book, go to a restaurant, see a movie, visit an art museum, enjoy. But when you're in pain, you fall asleep with a glass of wine and the TV on. She slept over, and I fixed coffee and waffles. We sat underneath a fig tree and read the Sunday paper, and then a drive in the country so the kids could play, and then the Sunday dinner with friends and lovemaking, and then I said, I miss my wife. And she cried and said, this can't happen to me. The new lady. I entertained her with my wit, took her to the movies, visited friends in Berkeley. I fixed meatloaf like her mother and made coffee like her father. We made love until she exhausted and then said, having a good summer? She said, yes, I'm waiting for the impending doom. It came. Okay, enough of that. I'll move on. So suburbia, I got a small grant from Alfred Heller. Early on, there were some people concerned about ecology and our environment. He had a magazine called Cry California, and the ecology movement in the early 70s is when we got together, we put a brick in the toilet to displace water, and we had a vegetable cooperative to begin to, I think it was the beginning of the whole movement. And as a photographer, I really wanted to show what we're about as consumers in America. And this book, and looking back on it, I don't show a single mall, because in 1970 and 71, when I was working on the mall, the only mall was in Concord. So you had to drive 45 minutes to get to a mall. Where now everybody has a mall within 10 miles. So you have a mini mall within two blocks. And so this is the beginning. So we can go ahead, Leah, and start clicking. The other way, the other one. Sorry.
Towards the end.
Yeah, I think so. Try that one. There we go. Sunday afternoon, we get together, cook steaks. My wife makes salad. Next. This house is being built for the Edwards. They just moved the sign house to house. Next one. I love TV, and in those days, if you moved in a new house, the first thing you bought was a TV because you wanted to watch TV. This is Acosta Boulevard, and Dublin's off to the left there, and I just want to show the freeway. If you mow your lawn in suburbia, nobody knows what you really do. And one of the things that's really fun in suburbia is Halloween. And I love going trick-or-treating because you can peek in the door of everybody's house and see who answers the door and what kind of furnishings do they have. Go ahead. This Chronicle asked me to go do a photo essay. And they sent me up to Vacaville, and I was able to, again, I should put that in the show, photograph this buying of lawn and rolling it out. If you go to Home Depot today, you can buy a pallet of lawn to roll out. It's a billion-dollar industry is lawn, and you can put it in one day. Again, on a documentary project, you step back and tell people where you're at and what you're photographing. So here you have the cul-de-sac. You can see the homes, the campers, whether or not there's a swimming pool, and you get some vision of what the place is about. This shot happened because I went to this 4th of July party and I got there late in the afternoon. I said, oh my God, this is incredible. And the book was almost done. I think I signed a contract. So I just slowed the book down and I waited a year to come photograph this again. And on this slide, you can't see, but it has my Volkswagen in it. So I just walked through the crowd over here. I prearranged a ladder. I just walked up the ladder, top of the ladder, up onto the top of the garage, and within 10 seconds made this shot. And eventually we put this on the cover of the book because it expresses what we're about. We're about getting together with the neighbors, again, the sense of community, and getting together with neighbors to talk, you know, and talk about their kids or talk about their lives or whatever. And again, I find it interesting. I think there's a very famous painting of the woman with a flag and the guy with the crutches, and there's an armband. I don't know if there is or not, but I like it. Oops, go back. No. I went to photograph these people, and they had an empty living room. I said, "Where's all the furniture?" They said, "It's coming next week." So go forward now. And then one day they had instant furniture. Now go back again. Just hit the go forward again. Here's the house with no furniture and then furniture. So people will go to Levitt's or whatever and buy all the furniture at one time. It's pretty amazing. Or now you go to IKEA. The center of the universe is IKEA, period. I had four of them there, so it's confusing to you. Just go. Usually in my books, I don't do the cheap shots. I didn't show fat people smoking cigarettes, and I don't like pandering. It's too easy of a shot, the girl with the curlers, but I had to do it. You know, it's. Here's one of the images that was backbone to the book. It's Richie, and the fact that if you're a kid, you know, Luke already has his big wheel. The kids are raised on big wheels. And they play with guns, and they will play cowboys and Indians. Now, 30 years later, New York Times asked me to photograph him again. And he's on his motorcycle.
Sorry?
Go ahead. Oops. I'm confusing you because I had him.
There
it goes. He now works for Stanley Garage Door Opener, which you can see right here. He lives about a mile from his mom and a responsible young man. And I took him back to the same place where I photographed him before to line the telephone poles in the street up, but the image didn't work. Somehow here with the red truck and his Harley Davidson motorcycle makes the contrast of 30 years on this person's image work. I believe in women's lib, but what I like, it says, while supplies last on the TV. So I tell people, look at my photographs, read them. There's things going on in the photographs. And people just look at the photograph and it's a woman with a kid. But while supplies last is an important message. I mean, how many more years of oil do we have? You know, how much more coal do we have? What's going on in our environment? Nothing to do in suburbia. That's what kids complain about. Here's my favorite. There's my Volkswagen again. Last year, it's easy to figure this out. You just take the candy away from the kids and you make the count. Yeah. But I like the little, go back, see that kid with those little beady eyes? The Getty bought this image and they made me produce the release card that had a signed release for that kid where you see the two little eyes. I had his mom, so I had releases done on people. The Rolling Stone had me do that. And so I was very lucky to have that release. Otherwise, it wouldn't end up in the collection. So that's pretty crazy. Again, today, if kids walk down the street playing war, like I did as a kid, you'd be arrested. The police would be there in 1 minute today. Kids can't play like we did as kids and get away with stuff. I mean, because of this, of cell phones and et cetera. But playing war is a very, I'm writing my memoirs. I have good stories about playing war. We always killed the Nazis. We never killed Japanese. Japanese, that's an air and sea war. I mean, we had underground forts and machine gun nests. It's a different type of war. In the first issue of the book, this image was not used. It was overlooked, and when we edited the book, they went through the files, and I think, it symbolizes that image of suburbia, the wife, the kids, the dog, the boat, and, you know, that 2 weeks vacation. Of course, I have a ladder there, too, to make the image right, looking down. Here's the lawn theory again, that you just can't plant lawn. The water has to trickle down from heaven like tiny little raindrops. We produce a lot of garbage in our society, and it's all buried, and it's being now we're separating it out, but it's amazing the amount of garbage people produce. This is one of my favorite shots. I walked in and I saw it. And I just ran out and grabbed the car. Take 1 second to make it, but it's all there. Time magazine, Ski magazine, Sunset magazine, Sesame Street, Sunset, and the big book when my generation was "I'm Okay, You're Okay," and then John Fitzgerald Kennedy, "Beautiful California," "Straw Flowers," and is this reel to reel or? That's what they call those tapes, reel-to-reel tape, wedding pictures, pictures of your kids, and et cetera. And then about 4 or 5 years later, I heard that the people didn't like the image in the book. And I'm afraid to go knock on the door and ask them why, and I had someone ask them what was wrong with it. They didn't like the fact that I photographed it with the wires showing. They would want the wires behind the little thing, so... But I mean that photograph is you couldn't fake it. I mean that's how it was. Here's another shot where my sense of humor you can see from my poetry comes through and other things. Here's a type of image I didn't even get out of the car. I just reached in the back, I grabbed the Pentax 6.7, I changed lenses and just photographed through the window of the car and drove off because I know where they live. I can come back and a year later. A knock on the door, show the kids the photograph, and say, "What do you want to say about your dad?" Or, "What's going on?" And then they told me what was going on is they think their dad's crazy. He makes them pick all the leaves off at one time. To do many of these shots, and I tell people, as a photographer, I was connected to the community through the newspaper, so I could run classified ads. That I'm working on a documentary photography. Let me come and photograph your house, your garage, your kids, whatever. And people would call me up and say, "Come on over and take our picture." And so every once in a while I'd get a phone call because I ran the ad for over a year. And this was a couple that called me up to come over to photograph them. And they're just a little tiny apartment. And they've been married 2 months. And so I just set them down to make this portrait. And when the comment was, "We've been married 2 months and everything we own is in this room." Well, I can remember where I could load everything I owned in my VW. And so it's, don't go back. I'll just tell it. But there's a box over here. We'll give the test. Who knows what's in that little, oh, no. Can we go back? What's that about? Anybody know what that is? Huh?
Huh?
Camera? Nope. I love the Afghan thing. I like the crushed velvet. Playboy magazine. Remember when Shell gas station gave away cups? They had a pet turtle. Okay. In America, we spend $1 billion on dog and cat food. I'm raised on a farm. We never bought any dog or cat food ever. But people spend billions of dollars on grooming and take care of their animals. It's pretty amazing. And $350 on grooming, that's a long time ago. There's my Super Beetle. The thing is now to go through my book and find my VW. It's in there 7 or 8 times. This is when Reagan was... It's very interesting. Many years later, I found out about Diane Arbus, and she also has a Christmas tree shot. And I was really surprised that somebody had a Christmas tree shot because we probably knew of each other, but I didn't know. I love her Christmas tree shot, and now I've been trying to photograph the new generation of Christmas trees in color because they're pretty amazing, the amount of money people spend on a Christmas tree and light up their front yard. So what I do is I'm the industrial spy. I belong to the Historical Society, and when they have the Christmas tour, I pay my $25, and then I get to take all the photographs I want. See, then you get to see really beautiful trees and yards. I had to do Tupperware because of the symbolism of Tupperware. Again, I want people to read the photographs. These ladies, of course, I finally got a hold of a shag carpet rake. They're really hard to find. They're long gone, and I have the rake that you rake the shag carpet with. Every lady has a glass of wine. And, of course, the body language is just right. The awards she's won, describing the greater... Et cetera, et cetera. women are too busy now to do this. I think it still goes on. I'm all done with the book, and I took it and showed it to photographer Wayne Miller, and he looked at my book and he says, "You don't have any sex in it." I thought, oh my God, the year's 1971. I would not do anything to pander. You don't, as your documentary photographer, you wouldn't do anything crass. So I advertised. No, pardon me. I don't know how I got a hold of this couple. It was a couple I met through one of my ads, and he's actually in another book as a Toyota car salesman. But they agreed to do something, and the best that happened here was she took off her bra. But I'm looking at the photograph years later and realizing, well, they put down the parquet already. They got the little fancy light plug, the flocked wallpaper, but no curtain on the window. Now, who would have a bedroom with no curtain on the window? I don't know. I don't need to say any more about this. It's all there. The only way a young child will clean their room is you have to scream at them or beat them. If you let them go naturally, it will always look like this. No child will pick up unless you beat them or scream at them. So let's get real, folks. This mother was a good mother and didn't scream at her child. This is my brother-in-law, Pat, and I don't know who. I think one of my kids might be in this one, David. Every year I go for Thanksgiving, I swear I'll never do it again, but I always do. So I think the way families are, they get together. They just do their rituals. Here's Andrew and Celia. I tell people, look at the photograph and read what's going on. Not only the type of tennis shoes, the average soap. Charles McCabe over here from the old days of the Chronicle. Remington, smiley faces. Charlie Brown. All the symbols are there. All the symbols are there. So when you look at it, it's all familiar. And I tell people, you don't have to go to a foreign country to see the exotic. It's right in front of us. It's everywhere you go, you see it, but you don't see it, because you're so familiar with that environment. Here's Celia again, as a matter of fact. How can I worry about the damn dishes when there are children dying in Vietnam? Glenn Gladwrap, and all the... It's the only time she's ever worn curlers, I'm sure. But there was a generation of us who were in the streets and protesting, wearing our Chairman Mao buttons with our long hair, stopping, trying to do something about the Vietnam War, where now we have a war going on that, because it's... there's no draft, there's no protesting in the streets. And, you know, 80% of the people in this country are against this war, but it keeps on going at $1 trillion a year for nothing. Thank you. One of the things that, again, I studied the FSA and the photographers done by Russell Lee and Dorothea Lange and all this, the photographs from the 30s, and one of the photographs was inside of a house, and it was a knife and fork drawer. I think just like a spoon and a knife, something really simple. So I just knew I wanted to open up that drawer and see what the knives and forks are about. I've done this shot now in color, too, and it's great. So usually I say, how many people really cover their toasters? I mean, so I'll give you a little clue what's going on here. What's the lifestyle of this family? Anybody figure it out? Nope, there's something that when you open that drawer, you can grab immediately. Wine opener. She's married to an airplane pilot who's gone all the time, so she drank. Never used the toaster. So you just got to look at the photographs, and you can kind of, there's a story behind it. This is another shot that starts out with the serendipity of being a photographer at was done with the book, and I knew I wanted to do something about dogs and cats. And I called a local veterinarian. I said, I want to photograph somebody who's a cat or dog person. He said, I got just the people for you. They have 23 cats. So I called these people up. And they said, yeah, just come by at 5. And so I showed up at 5. We walk in the house. She flopped the baby down. He poured the drink. She grabbed the Gerber food. And I took this shot, and it's all there, because everybody looks at the shot, say, this is my cousin, or this is my brother. They can identify with the look of these people. It's a very familiar American look. But also, well, we all had plastic. Now we all buy grapes, of course, real grapes from Chile. But if you start to look, there's cats everywhere. There's a cat there. cat over here, one, two, three cats there, and a cat out there. But also, I mean, I love it. We're really happy, and outside is the big PG&E wires, right, humming 24/7. Here it is, all the symbols. If you don't have these products in your house, leave. I mean, now we buy the Crisco that's non-whatever it is. You have, if you don't have the New York Times cookbook, you're a heathen, right? Better Homes, Joy of Cooking. Now the I go to the bookstore and there's 2,000 cookbooks there on every subject in the world. Jif, Coco, Quaker. Now I buy the organic steel cut from Trader Joe's, of course. Carnation milk, all the symbols of our society are there in one shot. And a photograph like this is a photograph you look for years. You just can't find it because people don't put their books together with their spices necessary. And when you find that image, it's a perfect image. It takes 1 minute to shoot it, but you have to know in your mind you want this shot. And when it happens, it's a key image in the book tying the other shots and lifestyle stuff together. This is my friend Celia's kitchen. We'd had a party. I've had people say, I would let you photograph me naked before you could photograph my dirty dishes. But it's all here. 7-Up. Remember Basic H in the old days? Martini Rossi. A little thing for catching goldfish. Campbell Soup. Slower Scudders. And again, if you read the photographs closely, if you look with a magnifying glass, eventually you'll figure out O-E-R-E-O, Oreo cookies. I mean, Celia would die if she tasted an Oreo cookie now. It's all high. Well, we didn't know in those days. It was before high fructose corn syrup, I'm sure. And now that's in everything we eat. Here's something very interesting. After your mother dies, you go through your files and you find a photograph. Do the next one, please. And there's my mother. Now, is that funny that after the book is published 25 or 30 years later, I find this photograph of my mother on a toilet, you know, goofing off in the backyard? There's something buried in your mind that makes you repeat some reason you'd walk by and never do the other first shot, but something made you do it. So there was my mom. All right, next one. Santana. Let's see, where the Tupperware party was, that woman there stole her husband, I think. I can't remember. It was years ago. Sangria, remember Sangria, that awful red wine? Oh, God. A haircut, too? That's cool. Certain times a photographer must be invisible. You must make those shots where you're invisible, but you're part of that environment. And you have to look like them and talk like them. You can't be a stranger in a strange land. So I tell young photographers, leave the damn Eskimos alone. You don't have to go to Alaska and photograph. The natives are right here. Again, the type of clothing, the style that we had in the 70s. Next one. When you make it, you have a house in Danville on a golf course. Oh, sorry. I can't back up. Wait a minute. I got water here. Yeah. Here are the three deadliest poisons known to man. RC Cola, Nestle's Quick, and Philip Morris. Yet out of this environment come healthy children who play soccer. So it's truly amazing that people feed this kind of garbage to their kid, and then the kid grows to be 6'8". But I think the kids that really grow big do have a balanced diet. I love this. This is when 5 minutes to questions. I haven't even gone through all the books. Yeah, we can take a break and field some questions. I switched to an 8x10 camera because I wanted to be a Cartier Bresson decisive moment with the 8x10. It's like working with one arm behind you. To set up the camera takes an hour and a half. You make one shot and it ends up in a newspaper, you know, 3x5 image. Why do you work so hard to make that? Well, it's a pretty incredible shot, but also to make this shot with strobe lights and balance the inside with the outside is pretty hard to do, to get the color balance, and you work so hard for one image, and I would never work with an 8x10. I don't think you can buy film for an 8x10 anymore. You can't even buy color film, right? They've discontinued color film. But also, if you look at it, you can read the date on the newspaper. I mean, this is Art Week. If you look at the original print, you can see what date that photograph was taken. This was a project. I had a small grant from NEA and a whole bunch of us photographed Walnut Creek. So, again, I advertised in the Walnut Creek newspaper, and they got some people. People would answer my ad, and this was a couple. And I love the crushed velvet thing there and the cool cigarette box. Totally cool. Afghan. I don't know why he didn't have a shirt on. I think it was in the summertime, really hot. And years later, I looked at this image and I said, wait a minute. Two guys, two cockatiels. I think they were gay. But in my day, there was no such word. There was no such image. It was two roommates, right? You didn't put together. But here's two guys. And he almost looks like one of the guys from one of those groups or the bands that play. But it was a great shot. They're still going together, of course. They're long married. And at the end of the book, again, when you lay out a book, it has a beginning section, a middle section, and an end. And you lay it out and move the images around till finally we live in a mobile society and people move to a new community. And as soon as you know where Walmart is and the IKEA and everything else, you're right back at home because it's homogenized throughout the United States to be the same. That was Janet and I in 1970. I had my little funny hat and the long hair. My Volkswagen again. So you want to take some stop and take questions? How much longer can I go for? Because I got four more books to do.
Okay, we want to remind our listening audience that this is a program of the Commonwealth Club of California and that we're listening to photographer Bill Evans.
Owens.
Oh. How embarrassing. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Owens. Okay. Okay, Bill Owens. We were going to start at the beginning now after all that look at your work midstream, but there's a question here. At what age did you take your first photograph?
In college, I took photography and got a C. That was the end of that. I was just another student, and it was a fun class, and I was uninspired. When I was in the Peace Corps, the photographer came to photograph us, and as soon as I saw him working, I said, I want to be a photographer, and I bought The History of Photography. And The Family of Man, by the way, is still my Bible. It's a great book that everybody should own and look at those photographs. And I was inspired by that. And so I just taught myself and then eventually went back to San Francisco State. So I would say my first photographs were in 1965, 66, like that.
Right.
One of the first ones is right here, this guy with weeds on his head. He's been on the field picking grass for a very small village in Jamaica.
And
that's a digital print. You can't believe how beautiful digital is today.
Looking back at those first photographs, and now you've been doing this for almost 50 years, so what are your feelings about it?
Well, there's a lot more work to do. I mean, I look at so many things that are wonderful to photograph, and now I'm thinking, I wish I could have photographed that empty field and then the surveyor's sign and then the first bulldozer all the way to the end of the process. And when I've thought that through in my mind, I knew I would have made a mistake in being too close to the stuff because by the time you're done, you need to be a mile away because the walls go up and you can't preconceive what's going to happen. But I really like seeing where the environment is destroyed to save it type of thing. Well, you can go out to, not Danville, but out to the suburbs, Diablo and those areas where you got rolling hills and really see where the bulldozers are shaving off the hill. So I think there's a lot to document in our culture and who we are because my hobby is going to restaurants, and I've been working on a foodie book for 2 or 3 years and can't find a publisher, but the food we eat today is so much more colorful and so much more interesting, so I have a lot of projects.
But going back to the photography, what you've had some great subjects, obviously, San Francisco State and riots and Altamont and all that, but what profoundly about the act of taking a picture fits in with your personality?
I want to change the world. You're a young, naive person. You think you can make the world better. You're a journalist. You want to inform people as to what's going on. So I think you always are driven to explain by photographing things and finding the right angle that the photograph really truly expresses who we are. And I'm very interested in, I like to sit in a coffee shop and people watch. I find a whole culture. But how do you photograph those people and what kind of coffee shop and where you're at? All that is a challenge to put together photographically. You just can't make the snapshot. It takes work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You said we were talking before and you said you had have one film up on YouTube. Can you describe your experience with that?
I have the one film, that Altamont film that you saw there is up on YouTube. And as a matter of fact, I was just reading in the New Yorker today, the YouTube produces 79 billion films this year, they estimate. And YouTube will lose $500 million. And so Amber, who helps me run my business, we've talked about YouTube and MyFace and Twitter. I said, should I do that? Should I do that? And she says, how much more email do you want to get? And I look at that stuff, and I cannot figure it out. But anyhow, I have put up the Altamont film on YouTube. As a matter of fact, no, I had, you saw the turkey spinning with the Rolling Stones music. They caught that and sent me an email and took it down because I violated the trademark. I didn't pay for that song. But they took it down. It doesn't matter. It's still on my website. They only caught it there. But, I mean, they're so protective of 12 seconds of music. So I put that Rolling Stone movie up there. You don't want to read the comments from the public. The public is just, they're stupid. They want to argue, or they want to make comments that are rude. Or I just, when someone's, I got one or two of them today about my Rolling Stones thing. I won't even read them. I just go delete and move on. There's no money in it. I don't want to waste my time. I put up a little film. So eventually I'm going to take my films and I'm going to make DVDs and I'll sell them at MoMA or I'll sell them at finer bookstores as a DVD, Bill Owens DVDs. But also I'm making high def films that are really terrific. And I love high def and I love film because when I can put anything up here and people will watch it. And people will watch anything on TV. I don't know how many of you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but as you get older, you wake up at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, and if you surf the channels, there's these televangelists on, and it's just kind of fun to sit there and say, how in the hell does this guy get on TV? He is boring. He is an idiot, and he's on TV, but you surf all that. Like, I love the QVC ladies. I can watch them all day. I mean, they got their nails done, and they're so effervescent, but their refrigerator would be cleaner than this refrigerator out there.
But in your desire to change the world, in the Peace Corps you went and did that as a hands-on thing. But professionally, with a camera in your hands, what you said about how many emails do you want to get is interesting to me. The camera is a kind of protective device, isn't it? It kind of makes a barrier between you and the subject. It's both a link to them and a separator.
I have a bigger problem now as a man, I can't go to Disneyland and take photographs of young kids anymore. People are suspicious of me, right? You can't photograph people as you once could because they're much more suspicious of who are you and why are you photographing my little daughter with her little funny ears on. So I have to be, if I go on a shoot, I take Amber with me. I have my assistant with me so I can explain myself as a photographer. So that world has really changed. And so when you're making films, you got to be, it's a new world.
Well, sure. That leads to a question someone asked in response to something you said before. This person wrote, I thought art was an exception to the requirement for a release, like journalism and self-promotion, it says.
I was always under the impression if you just say, I'm an artist or I'm working for the New York Times, that you can publish anything. And it's true, you can. But I think in this case, I've stepped over the line. I'm inside of somebody's home. And I think that's a privacy space. And I think it's just important that people know what you're about and why you're taking that photograph. And I would never walk up to somebody and photograph them, ask them to sign a release. Now it's easy to do. I just say, give me your email. And I email them the image. And if I need that image, I would send them a release card later on. But the release card really puts people off, as they think you're going to make a pile of money off of it. And so I was very lucky in that when the book was done, they looked at it and said, you have to do release cards. I said, I'm a journalist. I don't have to do release cards. And they say, if you're going to publish a book that's inside of people's homes, you should do the release card. But also at the same time, because I was telling stories, they say, why don't you get quotes from people? And so the quotes happen, so I get them to sign the release card, and I flip it over and then say, what do you want to say about yourself? So you're becoming an anthropologist, letting them speak for themselves rather than you making up stuff. So I always get very upset when photographers say tree in the forest. I mean, that's the best they can do on their caption rather than the guy standing there, yeah, I got a chainsaw and I'm going to take this tree out, you know, because I need the money for whatever.
So let's talk for a minute about the technical stuff. Are you shooting digital now, and why and how? And
I bought my first digital camera 6-7 years ago, and I just found when I could pick that camera up and go boop and take the picture, and I didn't have to focus. Plus, I'm not hiding. I'm no longer looking at the world through a straw, because with a 35 millimeter in front of your head or any other kind of camera, you're closing one eye and you're looking at the world through one eye and a straw. Where the digital, I'm holding it like this, and I can anticipate the scene changing, and it just made photography totally fun because I could shoot all day and connect a little USB wire up, boop, it all loads onto my Mac. I will edit on the camera before I load it on the Mac, and if I was doing any commercial work, you burn a DVD and send it to them, and you're done. Where to go shoot with 35 millimeter and develop film or lose the film, you know, sometimes you lose things when you're busy, or misload the camera where you're shooting away and the camera didn't catch on the sprocket. You know, on the digital thing, you're seeing instantly what you got. So sometimes people get very miffed at me. I'll just make one or two frames. I'll look at, it's perfect. I don't have to take 200 shots. It's a good shot. And the digital just made it so much more fun. And now, and I never bought very expensive digital cameras. My digital camera is $800 or $900, and it's totally fun. I don't talk pixels with anybody. I tell people, buy the camera that feels good in your hands. Does it feel good in your hands? Buy that camera. And so I've tried to switch to other cameras, but my fingers are used to that one camera, so I'm staying with that so you don't make mistakes. When you're shooting, you don't want to have to stop and fidget, because as soon as you fidget, the image is gone. I want to go, boop, got the picture, put the camera away, and talk to people.
Okay, now, furthermore, about the magic of creation, right. Is it true you have just made moonshine from donuts?
Yes, it's true. I had a class last week up in Petaluma, and we mashed in about 40 pounds of stale donuts, which have a ton of sugar, and attempted a fermentation to make moonshine. But it didn't go very well. We had way too much sugar, but I know next time I'll be able to take donuts, which are loaded with sugar, and make moonshine. So it's fun to be doing something creative that's recycling something of it or otherwise go into the garbage.
This is a useful technique in prison, isn't it?
Yeah. No, in prison they use peaches. Peaches have a lot of juice, and you ferment the peach juice. You can't get your hands on very much. Well, maybe you could out of donuts, yes.
Could you talk about your publications, your beer-related publication?
I had two. I had a magazine for 14 years called American Brewer. I had Beer the Magazine. And finally, I sold those and sold my brew pubs and got out of the brewing business. And I made a big mistake. I opened up an antique store. Well, if you ever want to meet dysfunctional human beings, own an antique store. They're all crazy, you know. I don't understand what that obsession to collect crap is about. And I have a lot of crap, but these people are really into it. I mean, I have history. I want to call those people from the History Channel and have them identify some of my stuff. But I finally then I made a trip across. I made money off of Elton John, And I said to my kids, you want any of this money? And they said, no. I said, okay, I'm going to spend it. And I got in my car, and I went for 4 months. And I visited distilleries. And when I came back, I formed the American Distilling Institute and founded a new business. Because I was a brewer, it was quite easy to leverage that into distilling because I have the technical knowledge of how to do it. So when I started the business, there's about 60 of them, and now there's 156. And now I'm back in publishing, and I do it electronically. I do a newsletter. Well, it goes to 1,200 people. But also I have to go back to the printed sheet again. You've got to have that piece of paper that, or in my case, is about an 80-page directory, and then every summer I do a newsletter. But now the situation is I'm doing books on demand now, where the print on demand, where you go on my website, you push the button, and the book comes a week later. It does not exist except in cyberspace. And now on the magazines that I'm going to do, you'll push the button, the magazine will be printed one-off and mailed to you. So you're no longer beholden to the printer, that you always have to pay in advance cash. And so the whole world has really changed on electronic printing, and especially the print-on-demand books are incredible. They're as beautiful as any book out there, and they don't exist.
But, again, this is about modernity and clinging to the old, this beloved Volkswagen Bug. What year is it? What color is it?
68 yellow.
Uh-huh. And you still have it?
No, it's long gone.
Oh,
I have no desire to own a Bug again. I have a Lexus. I want to be able to cruise at 80. I want the GPS on. I want the satellite radio.
Is that the guy who joined the Peace Corps?
I'm still poor.
Okay. We're getting down close to the end now. So let's ask you some questions about the effect of your photography. First of all, on the subjects, do you hear a lot from people who see themselves, and what's their response to it?
The Santoses are here. I don't even think they made it into the cut on the book. Some people I knew from Livermore, where I read the one poem. I don't think I read that poem. Never mind. But it's been almost 40 years, so so much has changed. And I have no desire to go look at suburbia again. I've been there, done that. I just think there's, as you move on, you can't go back. And so, but I did do a book on working, where I just go through the phone book and photograph everything from accountant to a zipper repairman. I did a book on groups called Our Kind of People. It was a Rotary, the Kiwanis, the Toastmasters, the Junior Women's Club. I didn't shoot the Commonwealth Club. And weddings and all the groups. And then I did a book on leisure. That one sat in a cardboard box for about 25 years.
Are you interested in the responses, or are you enough of a former newspaper photographer that you just walk away and the picture is what you're interested in?
It is. I can't answer that question straight up. There's so many other factors involved. Depends on what the purpose is of what I'm working on. Usually, I'm a project-oriented person. I'll have a project, I'll work on it for 1 or 2 years, and then I'm done. Like the food book I was mentioning, that book is done. I think it's 14 CDs of images, and I even laid out a sample of it. And I can't find a commercial publisher to go forward, so I have to just push that aside and go on with my other projects. So
Do you have any other projects along the way over these 40 years that
I have
been
a new book
aside?
Called Whiskey and Other Spirits that will be published by out of Rockport, Massachusetts in September. I just finished a book on the craft of whiskey distilling. I just finished a book on modern moonshine techniques. So I say go straight to Costco, and for $24 you buy 50 pounds of sugar. And you buy turbo yeast, and you ferment that 40 gallons of turbo yeast, and you buy the still from Arkansas for $1,240. And you can take $24 and make $700 worth of moonshine. A good markup. Or you can go buy corn and grind it and do corn moonshine, which moonshine really is supposed to be made from corn, not sugar. Or you can do what our brewers do, and that's the best whiskey is made from barley.
And how much of it can you sell legally?
Oh, you have to have a license. No, I from the day one in the book, I say, here's the email, here's the website for TDB, here's who the consultants are, here's how you do it. I have the spreadsheet. I say, on average, it takes you 2 years to get licensed and ready to go, and I do the timeline and do it as a business. I don't advise anybody. Well, it's illegal. I don't advise anybody to do moonshine in your backyard. You're going to make rot gut stuff.
Okay, one last question. We just have 2 minutes. Changing the world. Do you have some satisfaction that that you've?
I was raised a Quaker. You know, you come from a small town, a rural area, and you just have certain roots of Christianity. I want to say, but you want to make it a better world, and you. I think they're American ideas that are unique. Like in America, we have volunteers. No other society has the Junior Women's Club and the Rotary and the Kiwanis to make the community a better place. And I just have a lot of that deep Americana to belong to a group of people, be it a bicycle club or be it a hiking club, to make it a better world. And people go and watch birds. I mean, that is a group that's doing something positive. So I believe that the bird people are trying, Ducks Unlimited is trying to save the world. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm part of that Americana to save the world by doing my little thing. But I think I finally woke up to realize that I'm pretty tiny. I do know that there's 1,400,000 pages behind Bill Owens, photographer, more than Annie Leibovitz.
Well, in closing, our thanks to Bill Owens, great photographer and patriotic American, his comments here today. And we also thank our listening audience. And now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California, commemorating over a century of enlightened discussion, is adjourned.
Good. That went good.